Hey now.
Hey everybody, it's been a while, but it's certainly fun. I do love this music kicking off.
Yeah, it's good.
It's just fun.
It's better than anything we're going to talk about, I can tell you that.
Fuck yeah. It has been a while, but we are back, because we are always ready to talk some shit about whatever. He is Clarkson.
Hi there.
I am Jim, and hitting the post like always, we are the Film Thugs. I love hitting the post on that one. That always feels so nice. Oh, dude.
The video thugs, as it were.
Video thugs. Yeah, we are here to have a conversation about, we decided to follow up the Guns N' Roses with looking at Metallica in the only group of videos that has, I really don't know why we went with this.
I don't either, but we're going with it.
The definition of identity crisis.
Yes.
I don't understand the album Load at all. In the slightest, in any way. I didn't think it was a real album when it came out. I thought it was like an EP type, you know. Oh, some like
another Garage Days
bonus slicker material shit. Yeah, it's what it felt like. Because everything on it seemed like a B-side.
Yeah. I felt that way about Reload. And I'll
Reload 100%.
I'll set the table for this.
Okay.
I was living with Megan, as you remember her from Megan Becker, and one of her friends in a townhouse in San Marcos. And I was working graveyard security at the time for the outlet mall, also known as sitting in your truck and listening to Art Bell.
Yeah.
For hours and getting paid to do it.
That
pretty much it. And at the time, Megan was unemployed, so I was able to cheat. Insisted that I take over one of the bedrooms of this townhouse.
Okay.
So I moved in all my stuff there, and I was sleeping in this room. And because I had to come in and sleep mainly during the day, I'd have the radio on softly in the background.
Yeah.
And I remember sort of waking up to hearing this weird song. It was the same way that I was introduced to Pretty Noose from Soundgarden. Okay. Much better experience.
Yeah.
But like, what is that? Is that Soundgarden? Is this the new Soundgarden? What? Right. So then I heard some like Pulp Fiction-y guitar wang. Like, oh, that's weird. Maybe they're playing. You know that weird twilight of sort of wake.
Oh. Not asleep. I have a story about that.
And I'm like, okay. And then I hear unmistakable Hetfield. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Playing some like Sunday afternoon riff, as I called them. Like something you come up with on a Sunday if you're a guitar player and think, oh, okay. And you wake up on Monday and go, fuck, that's terrible.
Well, I'm glad I got that out of my
Jesus.
System. Yeah.
And then, wow, Dale kind of thing. Dick Dale surf thing. Like, okay. That's and then cool. I hear, okay, that was Until It Sleeps from Metallica. I'm like, wait a minute, what? And this was 1996.
Yeah.
Right? So this is not, supercomputers weren't in your pocket.
Yeah.
You couldn't just jump onto the Google and find out, what the fuck was that? And then immediately know everything.
Yeah.
You had to hunt for this information.
What's going on?
So then I did. I go to, of course, Hastings and try to look in magazines or whatever and find out, what the fuck is going on? I knew Metallica was working on something, but it had been 5 goddamn years.
Yep.
So you tend to move on, right? Like we talked about with Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. By the time the last song came around, by the time the albums, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 came out, I'd already sort of moved on.
Yeah.
Same with Metallica. I'm like, well, Black Album is what it was, and it was everywhere, and it seemed like they were on tour forever, because they were.
Yeah.
And the that box set was everywhere. Yeah. That live videos of them playing on that album were just everywhere. So you just sort of forget about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I would hear that. Now, I went and bought on a Tuesday night when it premiered. It was June 4th, right?
Uh-huh.
Went, bought the CD and the tape. Right. At Hastings at a midnight sale. I didn't just like Load. I loved Load. I loved it. I loved the record. I loved the songs. I liked the take of it. I didn't mind it near as much as I did when I was younger with the Black Album.
Right.
I had an argument for a while that, and this was a fairly hot take at the time.
Right.
Because every Metallica fan was like, this is bullshit. It's a compromise. Fuck them.
Yeah.
But that sort of rubbed me the wrong way, and it rubbed me the wrong way because it started off with their haircuts.
Yeah, yeah,
And then, you know me, I wasn't trying to be contrarian necessarily, but that really got the contrarian eye up. All you got is
fucking haircuts.
Like, haircuts?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, they were at a Unplugged with Alice in Chains, and someone wrote on their guitar, "Friends don't let friends get friends' haircuts." I think it was Star had that on his guitar or some shit. Because Metallica was in the audience, they had haircuts.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. Again, 1996, so I'm not a teenager this time, so I don't care
about
hair, but had that happened, and I was in, like, Thrasher kid days, that would have been a different story.
Right.
So, and I admit that completely. I would have had pretty much the same reaction that I had to the Black album.
Yeah.
Like, wait a goddamn minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because Black album, for me, was neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah.
It was a little of this and a little of that. Not enough of either.
Right.
Whereas Load was, well, we made a decision and we're going to go with this.
Right.
I'm also an old music fan, old rock, old metal fan.
Yeah.
And those bands were around long enough, Black Sabbath, for example.
Yeah.
Where if they went astray, quote unquote, for an album or two, there was always a chance, not a chance, they were going to come back. Even Iron Maiden.
They're bands that...
Judas Priest.
I'm going to use the Saturday Night Live analogy here. Someone put this perfectly. It's like being a sports fan.
Mm.
There's going to be years where your team's great, rebuilding years, where they're okay, ones where they're terrible.
Yep.
But you're following it over time, and you know it's going to tip back up to being good.
Yeah.
That's what was always there with them. Metallica on this, like... My thoughts on the Black album are... At the time, I just liked it because it was... It did what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
It was designed to be radio-friendly Metallica.
Yes.
That's why it was an eponymous record.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a relaunch of, declaration of what we can do now that we've seen what that popularity in the mainstream looks like. And it felt like that to me. Load felt like, even at the time, it felt like the first time I was aware of them chasing trend.
Oh, yeah. No,
it was
no
the
question
first time I was, and right away I was aware of it. And a lot of it was the look. Mm. All of it was, you feel like you're trying so hard here.
I remember reading an article at Hastings.
Yeah.
And it was like Hit Parade or some fucking, one of those magazines.
Right.
One of those rock magazines.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the inside cover story was, or the main story was, James Hetfield in like a faux fur coat and his mullet cut and his mustache, wearing a cowboy hat and all this. It was like Metallica's alternative gamble. So it was clearly like, we are going to try to do something.
We're trying. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was like how, honestly, looking at that review, how Motley Crue, if they'd stuck with John Corabi, could have transitioned into that period.
Yes. And that was very much that record of Motley Crue's.
Yeah.
Was very that.
Mm hmm.
Like, what if we can sort of move into this world?
Yeah.
But the problem was, I think, for a lot of the fans, was that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
It was, you're this, and you're always this,
uh-huh.
and you'll be damned, we'll be damned, if we'll let you
mm-hmm.
do this quietly.
Right.
Or sort of, because there was an idea that they were going to do this and never go back.
Right.
Right? There was there is no allowance for, as Lars said, when the blowback for Load was like, look, I get it,
yeah.
But we had to do something. We had to explore new things.
Yeah, we were trying
something. Otherwise, we're just going to fucking crawl up and die.
Yeah.
For a band, it's a lot like thinking about bands that play live in and out, day and night, around this material.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that position of every night, they're playing the same shit.
Yep.
Over and over and over and over and over and over for years. They were on tour for what, 2, 3, 4 years?
Yep.
2 years at least.
Playing variations of the same set list.
Yeah. Over and over again. And the kind of all the while changing, all the while getting older, all the while making a shit ton of money when success in music meant something.
Yep.
There's that. Completely different animal.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they got a taste of success after, being true to the scene, quote unquote, with One from And Justice for All.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a fucking little dose of it.
Of it.
And it was, what?
Yeah. Like Metallica and REM are the bands that prove what a video does, because they were the bands that resisted videos for so long, and then the fucking minute they did, changed everything.
Oh my God. My God. And there's a lot of parallels between losing my religion and a video coming up. So we'll get there.
Yeah, because that fucking blew my mind. That was the nerdiest moment I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, at the time, they were desperately trying to figure out what to do in a music. Well, first off, as musicians who were evolving.
Yeah.
But also an industry that suddenly was like, you guys really aren't that edgy or interesting anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what killed, because it was that shift in 92 was so severe.
Yeah.
And yeah, what was cool is not. What was edgy now is suddenly boring mainstream.
Yeah. What can you do? If you think about yourself in that position, those guys, you're writing the Black Album, and while you're writing out the Black Album, and touring and becoming the biggest band in the world, what's cool had changed underneath your feet. While you're on tour, everything changed. So while you're in, it's like being in an airplane.
Yeah.
The world's one way, and you come back down from that airplane, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
And there's no way of gauging real-time fan temperature.
Yep.
So all you can hear is your PR people, Bob Rock, someone named Roberto Rocco with a mustache that lives down. I think you guys need to play something looser, baby.
Yep.
You know. Are you Bob Rock? No. Aww. I'm Roberto Rocco.
Yeah.
You know.
It's easy.
And every fan male has the same sort of syntax.
Yeah.
It's all from Rock Industries, Dave Rock. Jane Rock.
Like, Bob Rock was someone who,
I think you should let him play guitar.
For a window, knew the code for music
success. No question.
He had that Konami code down.
Yeah.
And then somewhere that again, the whole thing fucking changed.
Oh,
He was the first one, I think, that was like, okay, shit.
Yeah. That
shit.
If there's one thing, if I do an impression of Bob Rock during the St. Anger recording process, it is obvious in the movie, some kind of monster. It's just Bob Rock walking around going, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
He says a lot, but really, you just see him going, oh shit.
Yep.
Shit.
Because it's weird, because Metallica, in my mind, went from the neoclassical thrash metal, which it was, to Black Album hit, and that was commercial pop metal.
Yeah.
And then they didn't know what the fuck to do.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where, like, because there wasn't anything for them to aim for that made sense to them musically.
Yeah. And again, and I tip the hat every time to 2 Minutes to Late Night. His review of Metallica, they don't know who they are. And they haven't known who they are since Cliff Burton died and Dave Mustaine left the band. I'm like, my God, you're right. It's something new. We're a new band entirely every album.
Yep.
The only time that wasn't the case was Load and Reload. Because they're basically the same album.
Well, and it's Reload is the B-sides of Load. That's all that is. And fucking Load is a B-sides album.
And it's just a completely different approach. I can see how excited they were about the process.
Right.
You can see it in the liner.
Yeah.
That I used to go over, like, the fucking Zapruder footage.
Yeah.
I made the Torah. And the videos were my Zapruder footage. I went over all of it. I was a fan, dude.
Yeah.
Huge fan of everything they were doing, because at the time, I was, 20, going into 21?
Yeah.
And you don't really know who you are either. So my music had shifted a lot. I was death metal in high school.
Yeah.
And then moved to the grunge and alternative thing because I decided, you know what would be great is to get laid. So let's put the fucking Cannibal Corpse aside and be like, oh, yeah, Luscious Jackson sounds cool, honey.
Yeah. My naked
I love it. Yeah. Whatever. Cool. Fuck it. Let's go talk about feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
It's cool. What you got to do.
Like Hank said about all those flannel-wearing bands, be sensitive. Works every fucking time.
It does. Right? It does.
So I'm in this alternative bubble myself.
Yeah.
And like when my heavy band comes in and goes, hey, we can do that too. I'm like, Goddamn, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking can.
Yep.
Not all the time, but for the most part, that record had a lot of, you can see them going, I think it'd be fun to try this.
Yeah, yes.
But we're older guys and we don't realize what it's going to do to a whole bunch of our fans. But they clearly, like Jason Newsted says in that interview, we went from our favorite band playing in black to wearing Cuban pimp suits smoking cigars.
This is
it's a weird fucking turn.
I love this first video, and we need to talk about it because one thing Newsted pulls in it is my favorite. Hmm. So, first one is Until It Sleeps.
Yeah, correct.
I love that everyone dressed themselves because Newstead's like, I'm going to wear a black shirt and pants.
You're
going to wear some sunk? No, I'm just going to punch dirt.
You're going to wear this fucking eyeshadow, though.
Fine.
Fuck. James doesn't. He'll do that later.
The minute they let Kurt start picking his own clothes.
Dude. I watched this video for the first time last night. And I'm like, when they finally gets to the, you know, we're playing in this, you know, Morehouse set, whatever. We're playing in the 90s, essentially.
Yeah.
Walking around in the 90s, the 90s set of the 90s. Like, is Kurt Cobain wearing a hairnet? He is. With a LeBray.
And his gross little chest.
And that gross chest and the tattoos on his stomach and the pimp shoes and this, like, what is happening?
All that I remembered while watching the video was, look at how, like, did fucking Tar Sim Sang direct this thing? This looks so much
feels like it.
No. Do you know who did direct it?
Yes, I do. I have the notes.
Don't remember the motherfucker's name.
I do.
He directed Smells Like Teen Spirit.
It's Samuel Bayer.
Samuel Bayer. And all I can think is Metallica handled him and said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to do, like, Losing My Religion meets Smells Like Teen Spirit with a fuckload of money.
Well, I can tell you how much.
Yeah?
It was somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000.
Good God.
Roughly the same as what King Nothing took to...
we'll get to that.
To record. I have another take.
Yeah, what's yours?
My take is, because they were feeling very, like, new and loose and there's new approach to everything in the energy that sort of newness can bring. Again, they're in a bubble.
Yes.
So they have a new approach to writing this whole record. Until It Sleeps is the first song, I believe, that they all wrote in studio together. Together. Not James and Lars, and bring it to our fucking hired help and go, do this.
I guess that explains why it sounds so noodly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that explains a lot of it.
Noodliest shit
it's,
ever.
It is, just, hey. It starts. It sounds. If you, anyone out there has played in a band, you've had this situation where you're warming up on guitar and you play something random. You're not even thinking. Mm-hmm. You're just like, bleh, and someone goes, what's that? Like, nothing. No. Now, there's a shit ton of amazing songs out there that started off just like that. Now, let's fast forward to you're that, but you're also millionaires.
Yeah.
And you have been playing this staccato same shit for 5 years plus. And someone's like, well, the idea is to play loose, right? The influences on this record were... But Hetfield says, ZZ Top and a shit ton of New World Corrosion of Conformity.
Mm-hmm.
Humaga. So much Pepper Keenan. If you want to blame somebody, blame Hetfield's fanboyness of Pepper Keenan. A lot of that. A lot of just hard rock.
Right.
Right? Loose, hard rock. So you play with that straight up dickwad riff of Until It Sleeps.
Yep.
Not the intro, but the actual riff.
Oh, and the intro, it's like, what intro?
No, yeah.
That's what kills me. There's no intro. It's just
Jake Newsted was so goddamn stoked that someone turned up the bass gain. Like, oh, me?
Yeah,
you.
Oh, wow.
Go. Cool.
Get some bass going here.
Yeah. And then you can noodle off, and then we come up with this generic ass.
Yeah.
And I liked the song at the time. I still like it. But, I mean, I can look at it and go, that's fucking noodles.
It is a fine, noodly little...
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you're in this bubble. You want... The edict has come down from the two tyrants. We're going to be loose. We're going to play this, whatever. Okay. I think that Samuel showed up with this Hieronymus Bosch shit and was like, What about this? And they're like, cool. Is that cool? Right? Kind of like Ronnie Mund, like being a little too old for this.
Is this cool? Is this cool, right?
It's cool, right? Yeah, I got these shoes. Is this cool? And it feels a lot like that. Yeah. It feels very much like you do this because it's cool.
Yeah.
And anytime Hetfield or not Lars, he was all the way in on this.
Oh, yeah.
All the way in on it. And I feel the heavy hand of Lars in just about everything in Load.
Rated his
videos, in the clothes, in the line. I feel him like, James, just fucking do it, all right? Just like, fuck it, fine.
Yeah.
And Hetfield at the time is just double fisting drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
His words, not mine.
Yep.
Just a shit ton of all the worst things, because basically Until It Sleeps is called, the alternative title of that is, I have a drinking problem. And as a former manic binge drinker, I see all of the notes.
Oh, like, yeah.
I feel bad. There's something in me that's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And I feel so sad. But now I know nothing to do with myself. No, you have a drinking problem and you're sucking depressants down at a record rate and wondering why things are so low.
Yeah, why is everything so?
Why am I in pain all the time? Toxins.
Yeah.
Attacking every fucking part of your body.
Yeah, your body's asking you to stop very nicely. Yeah,
you think you sleep, but passing out is not sleep.
No, it's not.
Your body is being wrecked, and you're doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. No, and it's addictive.
Yeah.
And you're possibly, and you can afford the things that'll allow you to do it for longer.
Yep.
And no one's going to tell you no.
Yeah.
Had I have that amount of money and access to all the things James Hetfield had, I'd been dead.
Oh, yeah.
So, props, James,
yeah,
for even being here.
Yep.
When there he when he
killed a bear on his kid's
killed
birthday.
A bear on his kid's birthday, you're like, good. He didn't kill you on your birthday,
good
right?
You, kid, yeah. Fuck,
be glad he was shooting bears and drinking vodka with the Ruskies. He was away from you.
Yeah. That's a win.
Look at
kid.
What happened. So that's my theory. There's a lot of people being put into place.
Yeah.
And saying, you do this and you do that, and Lars going, love it, eyeshadow, and I guess eyeshadow.
Yeah.
And him come, you know, fucking Lars was like, you know who runs Bosch? Like, anyone that knows art at all would be like, yeah, I know. It's like a kid walking up going, I have this M.C. Escher poster. Yeah. A kid would have run his Bosch. You know what kid did? This dork.
Yeah.
Right? Way before this video. Because I'm smart. No, because it's fucking, it's Goth Kid 101.
Yeah.
Right? It's the my first goddamn goth playset.
Yeah.
Bauhaus, Sisters of Mercy, Something from Ronis Bosch, and a copy of Paradise Lost, second mention on this goddamn day.
Yep.
So, yeah. But even I, being a fanboy, can look at that album, I mean, that video, and go, well, this is fucking corny.
It feels to me like they learned the wrong lesson from Unforgiven.
Ooh.
Like, do some arty, somewhat visually connected imagery.
Sort of. At least, yes. At least it's connected.
Yeah. Somewhat loosely connected imagery, and people be like, this is deep.
Oh, yeah. It's very much Losing My Religion.
Oh, yeah.
Very much. Yeah. Everyone out there that's our age or that's in our orbit of age remembers that asshole who said, I understand the Losing My Religion video. Oh?
No, do you? Please do.
Let me put my hand on my chin and wait for the explanation.
Because you know who couldn't explain it?
R.E.M.
Yeah. Tarsem?
Yeah.
He couldn't. No.
No. It's just, that's the beauty of music videos. I can put random shit together.
Yeah.
And you're going to find meaning where there is none. There's none.
There isn't any.
Except there's an angel or something.
Yeah.
And that has something to do with religion of some sort.
You know, it just makes sense.
Yeah. It's just Stipe in his white shirt doing weird shit and being thin.
Yeah.
The song has plenty of meaning, of course.
Yeah.
But the video? No.
Oh, God, no. Eh. And this, literally, it is that through the lens of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. Like, he's hip and happening.
Yeah.
I'll do something hip and happening. See, and it really feels like that.
Old men trying to be hip and happening a few years after the hip and happening is passed.
Yeah. Yes, it's just, yes. Well beyond, they already have the right mindset of, we don't need to be hip and happening, we're going to do something different. And that's kind of where it all, we need to do something different. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You should do what you want to do for you as an artist.
Yeah.
But then, can we do something cool too?
Yeah.
That's where things go sideways.
And when they get the right to, you know what? The only thing you can say to them, here's your crown, King
Napoleon! Oh, my God.
Hope's like, I know too much of this song.
Oh, everyone
does. But she thinks it's the funniest goddamn lyrics in the world.
Burger King crown, Burger snow. King.
And that's what it kills me, is it's basically the fucking beginning of Estranged.
And, yes, and it's the... There's nothing... There's plenty of things that are 90s, but the kid illustration-ish kind of like Where the Wild Things Are crown, right? Yep. That sort of kid imagery brought into an adult idea of mania or I'm, it was right on the beginning of every new metal band being crazy,
oh, yeah,
and having issues, and I'm disturbed, and daddy didn't love me, or yeah, neighbor took my butthole, or whatever. All that shit. But there's kids. And Korn was the number one fucker and chutes and ladders, and, you know, the swings, and again, butthole touching, and daddy didn't love me. And we're going to fucking drop everything and drop D and go for it.
Yeah, it's right? Fucking roll.
Okay. There was a time that was everywhere.
Yeah.
And for a certain group of people, it was the sort of thing those people liked.
Yeah.
I was a huge Korn fan back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the show. One of the hardest pits I've ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. Because motherfuckers were trying to run and bounce at the same time. So people were getting checked into, like, anything, bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know, It's fun.
Yeah.
And I was at that age where, yeah, I'm this all fucked fun, up and weird. Yeah. I don't Look know who me. I am. I'm sad.
Pay
right?
attention.
But had I been 42 and doing that, I'm like, God, what are you doing, dude?
What is this?
What are you doing, man? And yeah, that's a little bit, or a lot of it, what Load feels like.
Yeah.
Older guys trying to be hip.
Yes.
And it's not working. It worked for me at the time because mm-hmm, I was ready for it.
Yeah, right? But you were also You were brackish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. Maybe I'm booked up too.
Yeah. Here's your crown, King. And what always irritates me in videos is guitarists wearing gloves.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's not doing, no.
There's
he's wearing fingerless gloves. Yeah, still.
Yeah. No, you're not palm muting with that.
No, you're not. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah.
And why was it filmed in Park City, Utah? And nothing against Park City, Utah. I should probably ask, why is it filmed outside at all?
Yeah.
Let's just do this on a fucking soundstage, boys. No, we're Metallica. We got a lot of money. Okay.
Outside.
$400,000 to film this in the fucking snow.
Good.
With somebody who looks like Peter Capaldi's brother.
Yes.
Falling around in snow. Not in fake snow.
No, in
real
snow.
Throwing around crowns. And at the end, we watched the video last night, and I'm like, they have to hire all these people? And Nicole's like, well, maybe they're CGI. I'm like, I don't know, 96?
Nope.
Not that clear.
Yeah, CGI would be Spawn-level CGI.
For yeah.
That, like, where it'd be like four people repeated over and over again.
Or something like Claymation Demons from the Gate.
Yeah.
You know, some shit. It's, what? Why all this? And I tried to research, like, meanings and shit. And there's a lot of Hetfield sort of unconsciously maybe talking to him about himself. This is somebody else's take online. Like, there's nothing subconscious about it.
No.
It's all very personal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all personal, but there's an arm's length away from it enough where James could be talking about someone else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, we didn't know at the time, but that's where we want that to stay.
Right.
We don't want it to become really close, but then, because then it's St. Anger.
Then it's real St. Anger. And, like, the issue with all of it is it's all so fucking noodly. This is the closest to a real song that we listen to.
King Nothing is a lot closer to, say, as he references in the end of the song, same structure as Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
It's a heavier thing. It's a heavier groove song of the record.
Yeah.
It's somewhere along the lines of Ain't My Bitch and 2x4 on the same song. Those are, which I never understood why they didn't have a video.
Right.
Those two, well, at least Ain't My Bitch, because it's closer to like the same energy as Fuel from Reload.
Right.
We're like, well, if nothing else, it's moving.
Yeah.
So put that fucker out there,
right? That's right, Simmons.
Yeah. But no, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And the same guy that directed Until It Sleeps directed the Samuel Bayer directed the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. One and only feature, from what I can tell. The homeboy that did King Nothing. Let's see here. Burger King Crown. Yeah, I wrote that. Matt Mahurin. He did a shit ton of videos. Unforgiven, Unforgiven 2. Numb from U2, Gold Dust Woman by Hole, Everything's In by Bush, right? He also did a shit ton with Queensryche, Tracy Chapman, Tom Waits, R.E.M., Alice in Chains, and Def Leppard.
So this motherfucker likes blurry shadows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This guy likes blurry silhouette shots.
Fun fact, he also directed I Like Killing Flies, about that guy that owned the restaurant in New York.
Uh-huh.
Good little documentary.
But he really likes those. And I know, like,
he directed
Empire, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Because that shot at the beginning, blurry, out of fucking,
all of that shit.
Yeah. Now fucking, makes so much sense.
And but the video is just, again, someone said, hey, guys, let's go spend the money to shoot this bitch in Utah in the snow.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, is it cool?
How much of it was? Yeah, Axel did like a soundstage.
He did a soundstage for that 1 second of snow. Yeah.
Like, that's all I could think is the inspiration for it.
Maybe, but someone said, yeah, well, Axel did that thing in the snow. What was a soundstage? And James saying, fuck him. Do it in the snow.
But then, see, shit gets weirder from there because, honestly, the next thing they put out, so bafflingly stupid.
Well,
it's not quite Megadeth's high school video.
No. This is by far the biggest piece of shit video-wise out there.
I have one question. Why does Kurt Hammett look like that?
I don't know.
Because they found it's literally like they were picking out, like, what is the worst possible look we can give Kurt in this?
I still think those are his glasses, though.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Woof. Like, what can we do here? Make him look like his giant head.
Again.
Show how much like a baby he looks.
Someone showed up and went, hey, you know, Weezer has cool videos, which is undeniable fact.
Yeah. Yep.
The weird, speaking of this, going on an aside about Weezer, anybody that, you know anyone that dislikes Weezer?
No.
Not saying they have a fucking tattoo.
But it's weird because the range on Weezer seems to be from, oh, yeah, I like them too, got a fucking tattoo.
Yeah.
And the most there's so many people that are ride or die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, weird. Huh, weird. My nephew is like, yeah, you like Weezer? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, I don't think I'm rushing out to see him live or anything.
No, but.
But, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Pinkerton's great.
Good shit.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of hilarious videos.
They did.
And you can feel someone going, hey, Weezer did a cool thing. Do you want to do a Weezer thing? James, Jason, all of you have to smile. And Lars looking going, yeah, guys, you got to smile. We got to switch this up, man. We got to switch this up, guys. Come on.
Come on. Imagine Hero of the Day. Same idea for the video, but instead directed by Spike Jonze.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
It would have been a million times better.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird song to begin with.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think there's a line, the fist I made for years can hold or feel.
Yeah.
That's a good fucking line.
Yeah.
That's a good fucking line.
It's a good lyric.
It's just lost because this video
is so dumb.
And this kid's day is fucked.
Yeah.
Has coffee, eats half a sandwich, puts on clown pants, girl comes, takes pants off because girl shows up.
Yeah.
Can't fuck, washes Metallica.
Yeah.
And then a buzzard comes out of his ear and vomits. Okay. I read that there's a description I copied down from the internet.
I always forget the buzzard.
Got it. Okay. Here we go. This always. Is from, I think it may be from Wikipedia, maybe from some other source. But it's perfect. The music video for this song was directed by Anton Corbin and features a drug-addled youth watching a television, with every channel featuring Metallica in some way. A Western movie titled Load is featured, starring Newstead and Hetfield, followed by a boxing match with Hetfield as coach and Newstead and Kirk Hammett as the fighters. After a drink called Load is advertised by Ulrich and Hetfield in matching suits. A game show called Hero of the Day, which is a parody of Jeopardy, thanks for that, is seen being played on which Jason Newsted is the host. Then it cuts to the news with the anchorman played by Hammett and featuring a clip of Hetfield singing the lyrics to the song. A girl calls the youth's house and they later try having sex, but the young man is unaroused and leans back in his bed, visibly disappointed. The girl later leaves. At the end, the youth passes out and dreams of tiny robot creatures rendered in stop motion emerging from his ear. He wakes from the dream and vomits in the toilet. That's it. That's the video.
We watched this multiple times this week together.
Of course.
Each time I forgot about the fucking thing.
Of course.
I mean, like, oh, yeah.
What? What's, what?
Even if you watch it back to back, you'll be lulled into forgetting about that thing. So when it hit, you are always surprised when it hits the screen.
Yeah, because so much else of nothing is going on.
Yeah, and it's so much of nothing.
That has nothing to do with the song.
Nothing at all.
At all.
Yeah.
King Nothing, I think, was the fourth song. So this came out before King Nothing.
Wow.
As far as videos and... that's what the I don't remember that the case. I remember it being the other way around, but that's what the internet
says. We're just going in descending order of how bad they are.
Whatever.
Just so that you know, everything we've talked about so far has been better than what we're going to be talking about.
For sure. The... because I don't think he got as much rotation or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. King Nothing felt like it was everywhere.
King Nothing was... Well, I remember when we watched Metal Mania all those times, this motherfucker popped up all the time.
Yeah.
I always forgot about the goddamn vulture.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time it was just, this is so dumb.
It's unbelievably so dumb. And it's fuck all to do with what's going
dumb.
On. Anything with the song. Everything about the video is divorced from the song. And I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm simple, but I've always had an issue with it. King Nothing is a lot, but at least, you know, Jimmy Capaldi is walking around with his Burger King crown and falling down.
Yeah,
and he's got a crown on there as a king.
Hey, look.
Look at me, I'm a king. Hey,
look, we did the minimum.
Until it sleeps, I ain't got issues. Yeah, clearly, look at your fucking video.
Yeah.
You sprang for the actual beast.
Yeah.
Bird beast swallowing another creature in Hiram's Bosch. You went for that. Clear enough. Why spend money on that?
Yeah.
I don't need it. You're crying under a cross. Got it. Yeah. You're sad. You're drunk. You got issues. Easy. Simple. Until it sleeps...
Okay.
Hey, Weezer did this. We should do that.
Yeah.
Or some other people did this. You should do something completely disassociated. And Lars going, yeah, guys. Come on. And Hetfield going,
Lars feels like the band member that's always like, hey, guys, I got some really great notes from the studio.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-smurfly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, absolutely. Guys, the label has some notes for this song.
Where are the notes from? Bobby O'Rockelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what he thinks we should do, man.
I think we should do it, man.
And I agree.
I totally agree with everything he says. Because that's what kids are doing now.
No problem.
Kids are doing videos that don't mean anything because it's all bullshit, man. Yeah, but this looks like really expensive. No, it's fine. Why would you do stop motion alone? No, it's fun. It's fine. Great. Mean shit. Doesn't matter, man. Fuck it. Kids know that nothing matters. So that's what we're doing. Remember? Nothing else matters. Fuck it.
Yeah, man.
It's cool, man.
What a fucking
shit. There's no balls.
Yeah.
It
just so boring.
It's boring as fuck.
And that was boring and bad. And I thought,
You thought that was boring and bad.
Boring and bad.
You thought.
And at
the time, when I discussed this last time, you had yet to see this video.
I had yet to know of the existence video and of fucking this quotes. Song or video. I spent more time looking for the video on YouTube than I did watching it. Because I would see the thumbnail of what the actual video was and be like, well, clearly not.
Yeah, right.
It's clearly not this. That. Yeah. There is no way in hell that is what the real video... But guess what?
Mm.
It is. And
directed by the same guy that did Hero of the Day. And apparently on the same day is my argument.
Yeah. Like, if it took more than one day to shoot this video,
waste of goddamn time.
Why?
There's no way.
Like, literally, it's inside. It's only on James laying in the back seat of a car. And then there's a shot where the guys walk by the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, goes to my theory that James was playing this either on the bus or in a rehearsal space or whatever the fuck they do with all their money and time.
Yeah.
And Lars is like, hey, that song, man, you should put it on the record. Like, no, it's like a country song. Put it on there. Fuck it.
Yeah, put it on there.
It's cool. It's weird. I don't see that coming.
Yeah. And then the video will just be like you're on a tour bus, but it's a cab.
What?
Okay, dude. Okay. Sure. It made no sense.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. And he's like in a shiny shirt.
Yeah.
I don't, there's a horse.
There is.
Yeah, the ass end. He comes out and unbridles a horse and walks off.
The horse is inside, I'm too, like, which is...
I mean, I don't dislike the song.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a Metallica song. I think it's a James song.
Yeah.
Because he has a love for country music and all that shit. And there are elements that you can use in some of the songs that are fine. But that is so, like, so fucking far afield. It Steel really Guitar was. Happened. I remember being as a fan of that record as I am. The first time I heard that song, going, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
But is you know what's Steel
weird?
Guitar?
Whenever people talk about like weird, different shit, I love the Anthrax song Toast to the Extras.
Right.
There is no way in the world that a song could be less Anthrax than Toast to the Extras. But it's a fucking great song.
Right, right.
James, had this been a good song, nobody fucking cares.
Probably not.
But it's not.
No.
It's not only not a good song, it's not even an interesting song.
No. It's just there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, of all the things,
yeah,
we went with that. It's like when Reload came around, they're like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's do a video for Carpe Diem Baby. What? No one is telling you no at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one is saying, wait a goddamn minute.
Yeah.
I know we all want to do something different. I know we all want to do something cool. Lars won't shut up about it. Feel like Newstead for some reason. Saying, can't we just call it Carpe Diem?
Yeah.
Can't we just do that?
Yeah. No.
No. Why the baby? Why in fuck's name are we doing this? We can do all the weird shit we want, but.
Is the song about a literal baby?
That'd be something.
That would be amazing.
It'd be like that New Year's baby on that Rankin Bass thing.
Yeah. But no.
No.
It's Carpe Diem, baby.
Baby. Like the fucking tape loses at the end.
Mm-hmm. Bow. Baby.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that.
Jesus.
Some vocal coach lied to him. Or he's really pissed at the vocal coach because the vocal coach is like, you have to end it with a ta. I'll end it with a ta, motherfucker, every time.
I love what Hope said. She was like, oh, yeah, this is when James started trying vocalizing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, wow, yeah, James started trying shit vocally.
Yeah, I believe he is quoted as saying, I still sing like a sailor, but they wanted me to sing more. Okay, because if you don't sing, and you do what James was doing in those first records every night on tour, you're not going to be able to do dick.
Yeah.
You can pull it off when you're a young man.
Yep, but nope. You get older, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. And hopefully get successful enough where you can do this thing. And everyone sings it for you.
Yeah. Right. Or you could have been super smart and just said, hey, John Bush.
Well.
Because... Oh, man.
Man, there's a music pod, extreme music podcast I listen to called Into the Necrosphere.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the fence about it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He goes over different records or whatever, and like, okay, whatever. And at the end, he went on some random rant about Anthrax. And it was, he's from, originally from South Africa. He lives in England now. It was like, and what the fuck is up with Joey Belladonna? That fucking poodle. John Bush is a fucking god. He should be in Anthrax now. He should never leave. He should go back and record everything with John Bush. And anyway, it was this whole like anti-Belladonna.
Did Jim just take over this podcast?
Did we take over this podcast? I wrote him. I'm like, oh, look, dude, I like your show just fine, but as soon as you went off about Joey Belladonna, I knew this was the show for me. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. John Bush.
It's undeniable.
Undeniable, yeah.
Yeah, just hire John. Just
one fucking performance that they have with him. It's like... That's what we could have had.
Yeah.
Like, I was always okay with Anthrax. Like, oh, yeah, they're fine. And then when I heard fucking everything is perfect, everything is shit. Like,
yeah. Yeah, what is this? Yeah.
who is this gentleman?
I'm a fan of this. This is some motherfucker from Armored Saint.
Yeah.
Huh?
Some fucking Boston guy. He's like, oh, yeah, man. This is what I do.
And he's great.
Yes, I know I look like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, kinda.
Kinda.
But, hey, I'll just sing.
Early adapter, too. I'm losing my hair. Fuck it.
Yep. Do it. Why not?
Yeah. I love John Bush.
Hell yeah.
You'll never hear a fucking bad, even the songs I don't like.
Yeah.
Well, he's good.
Yeah. I'm fine. That's why it's like the Anthrax albums he was on.
Yeah.
Like fucking Sound of White Noise, Stomp 4 Foot, and fucking Volume 8, The Threat Is Real.
Yeah.
Those are impressive albums that show growth and change as an artist.
Bro, yeah. 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 Yeah, Sound of White Noise is a way to bring in elements of new without a wholesale shift.
Because that was one where I hit where it's like, oh shit. Like they, like I remember Scott Ian starting to play those fucking round body Jacksons at the time. Mm. Like, oh, you're actually.
Oh, I mean, the opening riff for Only.
Yeah.
Like, it's an open riff.
Yep.
Straight up open. Like, oh.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, off into a fucking harmonica or something.
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. They didn't start with Toast to the Extras.
Right, right.
That album had different shit happening in different ways and then stopped. They set up to where it was like, we'll go with this.
Yeah,
this band has shown that it has versatility.
Right, right.
And that's how you do it. It was, I remember hearing the fight between Axl and Slash that was really at the heart of a lot of the shit with Guns N' Roses was Slash wanted the band to evolve. Axl wanted every album to be different.
Right, right.
It's like,
no.
That's no.
No.
Sometimes, yes, that will happen, but no, that's not the norm.
No. In a lot of ways, Metallica is sort of the victim of their own success. They were so big that when they made any move that felt right to them, it was the wrong move.
Yeah.
Even if it was right for them. And look, I wrote this down. This Load itself sold 680 copies the first week, making the biggest opening week for Metallica, as well as the biggest debut of 1996.
680,000.
680,000.
Okay.
Sorry. Certified five times platinum.
Jesus Christ.
It's a monster.
Yeah. Yep.
A monster that everyone hates, but bought.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Sort of like, people can say that Grave Dancers Union and REM's Monster suck because you always see them at used CD stores. But you always see them at used CD stores.
Monster was just that.
Yeah.
That fucking thing, the PR campaign.
Yeah.
Everything that went along with that record was like, we want to retire.
Yeah.
And I want two houses.
Yep. Yep.
Like, okay.
Fine.
You can
we'll do
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. Proceed.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, it was just one of those things. When album sales meant something, that's serious business.
It was. Yep. Oh, and speaking of that Al Yankovic movie, it's so goddamn funny.
Well, that's good.
It's so goddamn funny. It is the perfect parody. Like, when he takes Eat It to the record company, it's like, this is a completely original song for the first time in my career. So you're telling me that this song, Eat It, is both lyrically and musically an original composition by you? Yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you right now. It's fucking brilliant.
That's cool.
Because it is the best parody of a biopic since Walk Hard.
That's good.
Yeah. But yet you look at that and the way that he did it, you see the fucking games in the music industry that fuck everything up. Where it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Evan Rachel Wood as Madonna, the villain of the movie, is so goddamn good.
That's good.
But yeah, like you look at Metallica and realize that is just dudes who didn't know how to react to success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's song after song after song about it from Hetfield.
Yeah.
Lyrically. It's just, it's a theme.
Yeah.
Between that and his insanity and his thing with his mom and all this shit.
Yep.
It's a lot.
Because they went from a weird position because they were like metal, like not arena, but decent sized theater metal gods.
Oh, yeah.
And then they did a video, and it was weird. It's weird because they went from wildly successful to unimaginably successful.
Oh, yeah. They're
and to have that big a jump is
the size and scope of this, because I guarantee we're not going to do a some kind of monster fucking show.
Oh, God, no.
Just to touch on these other records briefly.
Yeah.
The scope and size of that organization is laid very bare in Some Kind of Monster.
It is.
Just how much this is a corporation.
Oh, yeah. The Swiss training facility that dudes were talking about, like Jim Brewer opening for Metallica and going to this fucking training facility, which
it's just like
everything he bases, he destroys.
Yeah.
It's Victor Trujillo in a fucking white Metallica jumpsuit, just running scales. Fucking.
It's Bond.
Yes,
villain level.
It genuinely is. Like, yeah.
There's no way these guys could be in touch.
No.
With anything. My argument is they probably shouldn't be.
No.
Every time they try to get in touch or reconnect, it's a nightmare. I'll argue that Death Magnetic, even though the songs are harder and heavier, is much more schizophrenic than Load.
Look, Clarkson. The children love it when he gets down with
verbally. Exactly. It's exactly
what it
seems
like now. Because literally, I was talking to Hope about it, and I was like, these motherfuckers started out with Master of Puppets, and now the metaphors they're creating are moth to a flame.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a stylistic regression.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least that record is less self-referential than Death Magnetic. Death Magnetic is literally, hey, Mastodon, we can do it too. Guys, you're Metallica. You don't have to show Mastodon what you can do.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah, you're Metallica.
You're Metallica. I don't need you to dual noodle me to death for 12 minutes. I don't need it. You're Metallica, guy.
Yeah.
Don't you know you can fly?
Don't you know that?
You a bird. You don't need to.
Yeah.
Load is at least, fuck it. We're going to do this, and this is what we're doing, and I like it. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Yes.
And there was very much, they didn't back up from Load and Reel. I remember all that.
Yeah.
They didn't back up at all, and it fucking got over because they kept that straight face. Like, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Fuck
fine.
Fine, that's where you are now, and either you had a bunch of fans that left the band that secretly listened to everything they did and said they didn't, or you had all these new fans.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. But that fucking Death Magnetic, dude.
Yeah.
What is this?
I remember they were trying to promise it like, oh, this is the greatest. And
no.
Essentially, the reaction I heard to it was they just funhouse mixed it where it's like, oh, everything went red.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that was your goal. Everything peaked.
The fucking drums are out. They're so hot. It's
just, yeah.
What is happening? But Saint Anger was so fucking awful.
Yeah.
Everyone bitched about Load and Reload. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Saint Anger, I bet you they made Saint Anger just so they could have something worse.
Yeah.
They go, yeah, well.
Well, Train Records, that guy, his is, no, fucking Saint Anger is the album where if you were a Metallica fan, you knew they are never going back to what I used to like.
Nope.
That was the shark jump, death knell.
Absolutely.
This album was the end of them.
Absolutely.
And all you have to do is listen. Have you found any of the like Master of Puppets redone with Saint Anger drum tone?
Oh, yeah, of course.
If you haven't out there,
it's
worth it.
Take a trip with me to the islands, to the steel drumming of Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, it's
poolside.
Man, people really don't like him.
What's to like?
People really don't like that guy. What's to like?
I don't have any evidence to the contrary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every movie makes sucks. I don't know. He's probably a cool dude. Likes wine and art. I like wine and art. That's probably where it stops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Diamond Head. Thanks for turning me on to Diamond Head, Lars.
Yeah.
I didn't know they existed before y'all.
But other than that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, who
what
are you
doing? Some Kind of Monster is the fucking exhibit A through Z B of the indictment of Lars Ulrich.
Yeah.
Because James is barely holding it together.
Yes.
He doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
He's fried out of his mind with withdrawals and out of withdrawals and getting out of. He knows what the fuck's happening. All the while they're trying to get a bass player. That's a whole other goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And Kirk is just holding on by this literal black fingernails.
And the minute that it's
like, we're not going to do solos. got, Kirk finds himself a voice and is like, guys, if you don't do solos, this is going to be in a Kirk way of saying, guys, it would have been like, fucking morons. Are we Metallica or what are we? What are we doing here?
What is this?
That's why Jason had to go. Because Jason was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
James, just quit fucking drinking. Take all the time you need.
Yeah, just quit.
I get it. It fucking sucked. It's awful. But let's write about something else.
Yeah.
Fuck the unnamed feeling, which I actually liked at one point. Like, okay, yeah. When I was going through my own shit with substances.
Right.
But look, you shouldn't have to have an issue with substances for someone to go, that song's not bad.
Right.
And when you get soberish or whatever, now at least stop doing those things,
right?
Heavier things, and then come around to some kind of monster. I mean, unnamed feeling.
Yeah.
What?
But when all you got is one note, it gets old pretty quick.
Jesus.
Ching-ow
is right. Invisible Kid, Frantic. I didn't make it through Frantic, so I threw the fucking CD out the window of my car in the Best Buy parking lot in South Austin. Zip out.
Terrible.
Tick, frant, tick, 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 stop. Stop. And I littered.
Yeah.
That's how bad that was.
Yeah.
Fuck that record. Fuck it to death.
Yep.
It is terrible from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning to end.
And everything since then has at least had something that didn't suck.
Oh, yeah. There's material on Death Magnetic that is not objectively awful.
Right.
The newer record is whatever it's called, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, has some songs that aren't uninteresting. I saw it live.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine.
All that I hear, though.
You know what I remember? All the stuff that wasn't.
Yeah.
Fucking post-load.
Sane anger.
No.
Like, when I hear that is all of what Load sounds like to me.
Yeah. I don't remember who filmed the video first. I think. No, it definitely was Metallica, because it was saying they did that, you know, trying to be San Quentin and play in front of them. But then Slayer came out later with, I don't know, was it Repentless? I think it was Repentless, and they played in front of a jail. Ooh. You talk about everybody's butthole being puckered up.
Mm.
Slayer's playing in prison. He's doing what now?
They're playing in front of
No. Let's just hire a bunch of extras that look like me. Do that. We don't need to play Slayer in the gym the jail population.
We're not doing that. Metallica, because James Hetfield will do his whole, hey man, I was one or two decisions away from being
I don't want to hear that, dude. No one wants to hear that.
I love it anytime someone who's been in prison comes on a show with a guy who's with a rock guy who's like, what went down with that, brother?
Yes.
Fuck off, Stone Sour. What the shit are you doing?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man. What'd they catch you for, brother?
What you in for?
Shit.
Did you do a dime?
Always kills me.
Like, antiquated shit that no one talks about?
Yo, brother, man. You get out. Yo, brother, you only do
when'd you see
days,
the sun again,
man.
Bro?
Yeah. See you on the other side. Boat drinks.
Yes.
The gesture is what sold it, and you will never see it. Boat drinks. Honestly, is there a better way to end this show than with an odd things to do in Denver when you're dead reference?
No.
Spongy. Fame is so goddamn weird.
Clearly.
And what's bizarre about it is it's in most of these industries, unless you are a motherfucker like David Bowie, you're going to get kind of pushed around into these different things unless you are willing to be like, nah.
That's why David Bowie could come out in the late 90s and get Trent Reznor to work with him for his like industrial-ish, when everybody was doing some sort of industrial electronic thing.
Yeah.
And Bowie goes, that's adorable.
Oh.
I called it Scary Monsters the first time I did it.
Let's show you something called Earthling.
Yeah. I'm not following trends, son.
Yeah, yeah.
I am the trend.
Yeah. Yep.
You're following me.
Yep.
That's the difference.
It's like Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. The train records on the last Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young record is fucking hilarious. Because, they couldn't even get Neil for the photo shoot for it. Yeah. Just, okay, I don't feel like doing this anymore.
Right.
And like, he even gave him shitty versions of the song. Like, American Dream from the album is garbage. What he was doing live solo on acoustic was one of his better songs. Of course. But Neil just doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. You want to know number one with a fucking bullet why Neil Young doesn't give a fuck? It's called Trans.
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh? Yeah.
What? Neil Young's like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When questioned, he said, I like it. He never asked what was cool. I like it. Next.
I like it.
Try that
one. And if you come to one of my concerts and have a VIP pass, guess what? We're going to talk about Trains. I'm surprised he isn't on tour with fucking Rod Stewart.
Coming soon.
God, that would be huge.